Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Ann Danahy. Among the things Pennsylvania is known for in politics is being home to some of the most gerrymandered legislative districts in the country. That includes one that was known for being in the shape of Disney cartoons, Goofy Kicking Donald. Carol Cunningholm is one of the people trying to change that. Cunningholm is chairwoman of Fair Districts Pennsylvania, and she's leading an effort to permanently change how voting districts in Pennsylvania are drawn. Carol Cunningholm, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
For people who aren't too familiar with it, can you explain what exactly gerrymandering is?
Gerrymandering is the manipulation of electoral district maps for personal or partisan advantage. The word comes from 1812, when Governor Elbridge Gerry signed off on a map that had a district that looked like a salamander to benefit his own party. And the press called him out on it, and they created the word gerrymander using his last name and salamander, and that word has been in use ever since.
1812, right, so it's not something that's a new invention.
Well, gerrymandering has been around a long time. It's been done by both parties all across the country, but the trouble is, more recently, there are ways to gerrymander much more precisely than used to be possible. Figure they used to do this with a map and a pen. Now they do it with computer technology. And so think of what you can do with your maps now. So take mapping technology, add data mining technology, all the data available about how people are registered to vote, income, education, how precincts vote year by year. Take all of that information and you can really predict very carefully what each block, each housing unit would vote for the next decade. So legislators recently have been drawing district maps that really lock out any competition in any direction for the next decade. So voters' voices are lost. The opportunity to have a choice in the elections is really lost. And the collaboration that happens when you have people that need to compromise is also lost, because the districts skew to the partisan extremes when there really is no genuine competition in our elections.
For many people, their eyes might glaze over when you start talking about redistricting and legislative bodies. How do you convince everyday people that they need to pay attention to this?
You know, different people plug in different ways. Some people, we just say, look at the map. So go to our website, fairdistrictspa.com, the problem district maps, and look at your maps. And some people, State College in particular, look at your state house maps and ask yourself, why were those districts drawn in such a bizarre way? And there's some really bizarre stuff going on. And then ask yourself, what neighborhoods are impacted? What communities are divided? And then whose voice is lost when that happens? So for some people, simply looking at maps is enough to make them furious. And I've had people call me from across the state saying, I have to drive around two mountains to get to my representative's office. It takes me 45 minutes. That's ridiculous. And it is ridiculous. So some people, it's just the maps, or it's the fact that they can't figure out who their legislator is, or they can't find out how to get there. But for other people, it's policy. And I would say that the fact that we have unaccountable elections means we also have an unaccountable legislature. So I talk about things like the fact that we have the most inequitable state contribution to school funding in the country, or we have 18 cities with worse lead exposure than Flint, Michigan. And I can trace all that back to bills introduced in our state legislature over decades that have never been given a vote, and ask, why are they not given a vote? Because the legislators don't have to. They don't have to be interested. And there have been 25 bills on lead exposure over the last 20 years, and none of them have been voted out of committee. That's an unaccountable legislature, and it impacts every Pennsylvanian every day.
So you think it's an unaccountable legislature because they aren't up for election in competitive districts?
So if people are in a safe district and they're there for years, then they over time skew the procedural rules to benefit people with seniority. That's happened in our state legislature. So the people with seniority set the rules, but they also run the committees. They decide which bills get heard, which bills get a vote. And less than 7% of the bills introduced in Harrisburg ever pass out of our state legislature. This has nothing to do with does the governor veto them or not. Less than 7% actually get passed. There are part-time legislatures that pass much, much higher percentages of bills, and that do creative solutions for problems that face their state. In Pennsylvania, we have many, many problems facing our state, and very, very few of them are addressed by our state legislature.
You talked about this a little bit, but expand on what you mean when you say our legislators choose us rather than voters choosing the legiculature. In a way, it's making it sound basically your vote does not count.
In many places, your vote does not count. It's a wonky topic, as I always warn people. It's a wonky topic, but follow me. There are two different procedures in Pennsylvania for our congressional maps. Those are introduced as a bill. They're passed by the General Assembly, that's the House and Senate, and then the governor can veto them. If everybody involved is in one party, then that map can be drawn to put that one party in power for the next decade, and the other party really has no option. So for the last 20 years, the Republicans have controlled the drawing of the congressional map. In 2011, they drew a map that gave Republicans 13 out of 18 seats locked in. Didn't matter how many Democrats showed up. That was what it was going to be, 13-5, which is why there was a lawsuit in 2017 and 18. That's congressional. And if you watched what happened after the lawsuit, it really changed our delegation to Congress. So we went from having no choice and no voice to having a genuine choice and having competitive races in many of our congressional districts.
Right. So the League of Women Voters has had some success with that lawsuit that you mentioned. And in 2018, the state Supreme Court threw out the state's map, and they ended up appointing this law professor to draw the new map. Republicans at the time objected to it and tried to stop it. So that map, though, will get thrown out again after the upcoming census?
So the maps will all be redrawn in 2021. That congressional map will be redrawn, but our state House and Senate maps will also be redrawn. And those have not been thrown out. And those, we have probably the most gerrymandered state House and Senate maps in the country, despite the fact that there was a lawsuit in 2011 and those maps were redrawn in 2012. Many people forget that. But for some of those districts, they were redrawn in 2012. There were some slight tweaks, some slight improvements. But even the improved map of 2012 is probably the most gerrymandered House and Senate plan in the country.
And so your organization wants to have an independent, nonpartisan commission formed. First, is it possible to have that type of independent, nonpartisan commission in today's political atmosphere?
So we would say, number one, it's kind of like asking, can you find a referee or an umpire who is impartial? And I'd say, well, everybody cares about base. If they're going to be a referee, they're going to care about baseball. They're going to have their opinions about which team they prefer. But their career, their livelihood, their own personal political future doesn't depend on which team wins. In a way, what we've got here is we have the inside players also serving as the referees. And that's a conflict of interest. So we believe you can find citizens who are less personally invested in drawing the maps, who could do a better job. But also we would have a commission that would balance interests in a way that our current commission does not balance interests. So in other words, the commission we're proposing would have four people from each major party, and we're assuming the major parties are Republican and Democrat, but four from each major party, and then three unaffiliated with those major parties, and the maps they approve would have to have at least two votes from each of those groups. So you couldn't have a map that totally benefited one group. Those groups would have to work together to create maps that benefit everybody. And the whole thing would be transparent, so the public could see as it's taking place. There would be public input. So people could say things like, hey, you know this ridge that runs from here to there? Could you not put a House district half on one side and half on the other? You know, so the public could weigh in on things like geography or the communities that matter to them. And then they wouldn't be allowed to use partisan data. So they wouldn't be able to take all that partisan voter data and use it to predict what's going to happen for the next 10 years. They would just get the numbers, where do people live, and divide them up so that the numbers are even and that the districts reflect those communities. And the one last piece was there would be a prohibition from dividing counties more than mathematically necessary. So counties would not be allowed to be divided more than necessary plus one for congressional and Senate maps and plus two for House maps. Right now, Montgomery County in our last congressional, in the 2011 congressional map, Montgomery County was divided into five congressional districts. Mathematically, it should have one and a little bit more. My own county, Chester County, was divided into four congressional districts. The new map puts us into one district, which is what it ought to be. There would be mathematical prohibitions against slicing and dicing the way it's currently done.
I think that's an interesting point you made, that even though it would be there would be bipartisan, that just because a majority on the committee approved the maps, it would need more than just a simple majority. You'd have to get two votes
right.
from either party. So
and that third group of independent and or unaffiliated, all you'd have to have at least two from each of those groups say this map works. Yeah.
So it would have to seem fair, at least to most of the people on the committee. Would anyone else have to approve it? So would it need to go to the governor or the General Assembly if this committee comes up with this map and they approve it? Is that it?
As we have it written, it would be those 11 commissioners would agree. Now, a lot of people say, well, by law, the state legislature should approve those maps. And what we like to point out is currently, I haven't gotten into the details on how our current process works. We have a 5-person Legislative Reapportionment Commission. That's the group that draws our House and Senate maps. Those 5 people don't have to have that approved by the General Assembly. The governor does not veto it. Those 5 people draw it in total secret using any partisan data they want. And what people fail to realize is those are 5 really partisan insiders. So you have the majority leaders from both houses, the minority leaders from both houses. So you have 2 from each party. The 5th person, either those 4 agree on a 5th person, which has never happened yet, or the state Supreme Court chooses that 5th person. So in effect, you have 3 people from one party completely ignoring the 2 from the other party and drawing the map the way they want, and there is no recourse. There's no approval by the legislature. It's just those 5 people and no explanation given. I should say one other piece to the bills that we're supporting, there would have to be explanation given if a county was divided. So wherever that divider line goes, there would be an explanation. It's put here because right now there's no explanation for any of the strange things that happen in our district maps. No one knows why, and there's no explanation offered.
So to change all of this, you want to get legislation passed that would actually put a question on the ballot asking voters if they want to amend the state constitution and change how redistricting is done. Why are you doing it this way rather than just legislatively?
So actually, we have 2 bills that have been introduced. One is a simple bill that would change the way congressional districts are drawn. There is nothing in our state constitution about the way that congressional districts are drawn. That can be simply a bill, and once the bill is passed, that commission could be put in place. There's a really tight timeline to get this done because 2021 is coming at us fast. And it takes some time to have citizens volunteer and then vet them and then do a selection process and get them trained. So one of our bills, House Bill 23, Senate Bill 1023, would change off, put into the election code independent commission just for congressional, but with those same prohibitions on House and Senate, so not dividing and no partisan data. But the process would still be done by the current 5-person commission. That's written into our state constitution. So to change that process would require a constitutional amendment. So our other bills, 1022, Senate Bill 1022, and House Bill 22, those bills would amend the state constitution. They would have to pass this summer, by the end of June, beginning of next session, and then the voters would get to decide at referendum in May of 2021.
For this to work, you need this legislation to pass the Senate and the House. What's holding it up?
What's holding it up is legislators deciding whether they're going to give up the power to draw their own maps. And there are many, many legislators who would love to see this change because it puts far too much power in the hands of 4 people. Really, 2. Whoever those are that have the 5th vote from the state Supreme Court, those 2 people are controlling the whole thing for all of their colleagues. And they use it to punish colleagues who vote what their constituents want them to or who vote their consciences. They use it to protect their friends. They use it to control the process completely. So there are many legislators who feel like the legislature would work better and they would have more opportunity to represent constituents if they could change it. The leadership has been reluctant to give up that power because power doesn't give up power without a fight. We're trying to say to the Republicans who could change this, don't forget that that 5th person is chosen by the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court right now is heavily Democratic. So that 5th and deciding vote on that commission will be a Democrat. It's in the Republicans' best interest to change this now. Some of them understand that. Some of them are having trouble hearing what we're saying on that issue. We're working hard to inform them, educate them, and have conversations with them.
So you talked about the timeline for this. So you need this to happen sooner rather than later if it's going to be in place. We have the census coming up, and then after the census, that's when the remapping takes place. Are you still hopeful? Do you think it's realistic?
We now have 99 co-sponsors in the House as of this week. We added 2 co-sponsors this week, and we are 1 away from a majority in the House, which is pretty positive. We just introduced the Senate bills a few weeks ago, and we're already coming fairly close to having a majority in the Senate. We do think this can be done. We think that there's openness on the part of leaders. We know it's an election year. We know voters care deeply about this. So those legislators who are facing an election in 2020, we're encouraging them to think carefully. The fact that 2/3 of Pennsylvania voters in every poll that's been done in the last couple of years, every recent poll shows that about 2/3 of Pennsylvania voters believe there should be an independent redistricting commission. Very, very few think it's okay that legislators continue to draw their own maps. And we've been having public events across the state. We've had over 860 public events just explaining this to people. Citizens really want this to happen, and legislators who are facing re-election should probably pay attention to the fact that voters are engaged in a way that they have not been in the past. So we are hopeful. We're not confident. It's a uncertain landscape in Harrisburg, as always, but we do think it's quite possible to get this done.
We're talking with Carol Cunningholm, chair of Fair Districts Pennsylvania. That group is pushing for reform on how legislative districts in Pennsylvania are drawn, and they're trying to get legislation passed this year. I want to just go back again to talking about 2 different legislative maps. So we've got Congress, which your organization and the League of Women Voters have had some success. They got a court victory in getting the redistricting for that. But then we're also talking about the state map, so the state Senate and the state House. So you would want to see action on both of those fronts.
We want a commission to draw all of them. And I have to say about the lawsuit, so Fair Districts PA was not a participant in the lawsuit, although we certainly were calling attention to the fact that the map we had before was outrageous. It was certainly by mathematical standards, probably the worst in the country. And so we certainly were calling attention to that. We don't think lawsuits are a great solution. We think lawsuits are divisive, they're expensive, they're confusing. And we believe that to have a process in place that citizens trust would be much better for everybody. That's our goal. So we definitely want to see a new process in place that would have the same commission draw congressional and state House and Senate maps.
It was pretty unusual that Pennsylvania had success because other states were the organizations and groups trying to push for this type of reform and using the courts. It didn't work out as well. And one part of that, right, was that you were looking at the state constitution. It didn't become a federal case. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say you. I should say the League of Women Voters.
Well, and the Public Interest Law Center, they did a phenomenal job thinking this through. And what they recognized was that the state constitution has more protections for voters than the U.S. Constitution. So our state constitution promises voters free and equal elections, and our elections were not equal. When the districts are drawn to give the benefit to one party, you no longer have free and equal elections, and they did a really good job of demonstrating that. And so you can see the outcome of it in the way that the entire congressional landscape changed after that. And also to see that there were people who had been in congressional districts that had been finagled for them, as one party leader told me, that they had actually finagled districts for particular candidates. When you see people who have run for office in personal customized districts suddenly faced with districts that are not drawn for them, many of them said they were retiring, even though they were not of retirement age. They just said, well, we're not going to run again, because they knew they had been ignoring voters for a long time. Voters were sick of it. And when voters had a chance to have real competition in the elections, voters were enthusiastic and energized. It made a big difference.
The redistricting that happened did benefit Democrats. So the number of Democrats being sent to Congress increased, the number of Republicans decreased with the new map. Do you ever get accused of being partisan?
We are often accused of being partisan, and we are not. We are adamantly nonpartisan. I personally am a registered independent, and we are a group of people across the political spectrum who very much want to see our elections work on behalf of voters, not parties. We think the parties have gained too much power and the people have lost power. We want to see individual voices have a chance, and we are certainly not partisan. And I have to go back to what I was saying about the 5-person commission. The Democrats will have the upper hand in drawing the state House and Senate maps in 2021, we're trying to say to Republicans, we don't think that's a great idea. We would prefer it be an independent commission, and you have a chance to fix it before that happens.
One of the things I think that gets lost in the discussions about gerrymandering is that it's actually making politics more divisive. And you mentioned that earlier, that it becomes kind of this vicious loop. So if you're in a district that gets drawn to be favor party A or party B, then the people who are going to get nominated and elected are going to be more to the left or to the right. Are you hoping that one of the effects that would come out of this is that there'd be more moderate politicians getting elected too? That it would contribute to more bipartisanship?
Absolutely. I believe that's true. Representative Jean DiGirolamo, a good friend of ours, a Republican from Bucks County, retired to run for county, to become a county commissioner. In his farewell speech, he told his colleagues in our state legislature, you have to fix gerrymandering because it makes it impossible to get anything done here. And the best bills are those that take place when there's collaboration between two parties. If one party can draw the other party into an irrelevant minority, there is no collaboration and there's no compromise. We had in 2014, 58% of our legislative districts had no opposition in the general election, 58%. That's really, really of great concern. In 2016, it was 48%. That was a big election year. Half of our legislative districts did not have opposition in the general election. That's just not acceptable.
And many of those that do have opposition, it doesn't seem like a particularly competitive race.
Yeah, and some of the opposition people are just saying, it's upsetting to me to see no opposition, so I will try. But many of them, I in my own district, there was somebody who ran in 2016 but did not have a website, never had yard signs. It was really not a legitimate campaign, but they were just somebody saying, it upsets me to see that we do not have opposition. In 2018, 38% of our districts did not have opposition in the general election, but there was a huge energy towards trying to assert the voters' voice. And I think 2021 will see that even more. People who are paying attention are saying, are you kidding? And mounting elections simply to say, we deserve a choice and we'll do whatever we can to make sure voters get a choice.
You've testified before the state Senate about this. What type of reaction you get? And did you get a sense of specific reasons why there might be opposition to this, other than just it's benefiting someone politically?
We, of course, hear that we must be all Democrats because we're upset that the Republicans drew the map. And we're saying, well, the Democrats will draw the next map. You should pay attention. That's one pushback. Another pushback is we shouldn't change the Constitution. Our founders knew what they were doing. In reality, the current Legislative Reapportionment Commission was put in place, I believe, in 1968, during a constitutional convention in 1968, following some Supreme Court cases about the need to redistrict every 10 years. Before that, redistricting was a very occasional thing in many states. So the Supreme Court said, after the census, every state has to redistrict. So our current process is, certainly our founders did not put it in place, and I think our current process is very flawed. Another thing that people will say, legislators will say, is that the legislators are the ones who should be drawing the maps. And we say, you're not drawing the maps. It's a couple of people in a back room drawing the maps. And then they'll say, well, we're the ones who get to approve the maps, and we have to remind them, you have no vote on this. I've had discussions with legislators who will argue with me, we do, we get to approve it. And I'll say, I can show you the Constitution. You really don't have a voice. So we get some pushback, and what we often find is the people who are pushing back are not really aware of the specifics of the current process or how it came to be.
One of your arguments is that there would also not be a need for term limits if there was a fairly district map. Do you think that's true, that there would be less of a need for term limits, or that there would be, I guess, more competition?
Well, in states that have put an independent commission in place, or states that do not have the kind of gerrymandering we do, we see far greater turnover. Pennsylvania has very, very little turnover, and I would argue it's because we have personal customized districts in both directions. And it's funny, I've met with legislators who'll say, oh, we really don't have a problem with this. And I'll say, well, can you explain this like weird thing going on your district map? Because they all have these beautiful big district maps in their offices. And they'll say, oh, well, my colleague wanted that neighborhood because, or I didn't want that neighborhood because, and they don't realize they're arguing on behalf of reform as they explain their district. So we do hear from people saying this could all be solved if we had term limits. And I would argue if we have really good legislators, we want them to stay there. It takes a while to understand the process. It takes a while to understand how to get things done. It would be wonderful if we had people who were specialists in the issues that they are overseeing. Unfortunately, right now, we have committee chairs in committees where they really don't understand the issues, and they're not that interested in the issues. But when we do occasionally get a legislator who does, I want them to stay there. I want them to continue to come up with good solutions for the people of Pennsylvania. Some of the legislators have said if we did have term limits, the people who would run Harrisburg would be the lobbyists and the partisan staff. And we do see some of that already. Those are the people who are very, very vested on particular issues. They're the ones who are sharing information on particular issues. And it's hard for citizen groups to be heard when those voices are loud. And if we had term limits, those voices would be even louder. I think it would hurt democracy in Pennsylvania.
You're a former English professor and pastor. How did you decide to make this fighting gerrymandering your focus?
You know, I did not one day wake up and say, I am going to fight gerrymandering. As of 5 years ago, I had never heard of gerrymandering, to be honest. My degree was in American Lit, so I spent a lot of time reading our founding fathers and understanding their vision for what democracy would be. And Pennsylvania was a forerunner in the fight for representation. Pennsylvania was a shining star. Our Constitution was an example for states around the country and for countries around the world. Pennsylvania was out in front. So it's been a bit of a heartbreak to me to kind of watch how Pennsylvania has faltered in this area. And as a youth pastor, I worked with a very affluent community and then with kids in a very under-resourced community. And I was stunned to see the incredible difference in resources available to those communities and trying to understand why are the kids whose parents don't have an education, whose parents do not buy them books, whose local libraries are not safe because they have homeless people sitting in there and it's not a place where kids could hang out, don't have many resources. Why are those kids going to schools that do not have libraries? Pennsylvania has less librarian per kid than any other state in the country. Philadelphia has more schools without libraries than any other major city. I was really stunned to discover. I couldn't imagine. How do you have a high school without a school library? And that led me to try to understand other policies, that policy as well. I just couldn't understand some of the things I saw that just seemed ineffective in terms of cost. I mean, if you're trying to have a developed workforce, why wouldn't you be providing librarians for your students? And as I tried to understand that, all roads kind of pointed towards Harrisburg and policy issues that just made no sense, that seemed counterproductive, ineffective, uneconomical. And when I tried to understand that, I began to talk to people about why. Why is it like this? And many people said, well, look at our elections. And I said, well, what about them? And people said gerrymandering. And I had never heard the word. So I began to study. And sure enough, I discovered that we have a very unaccountable legislature, unresponsive legislature. And gerrymandering is a huge part of that.
Carol Cunningholm, thank you for coming in and talking with us.
Well, thank you. And let me remind you, if you check our website, fairdistrictspa.com, you can find lots of information. And you can also find a petition to sign if you want to join us in this fight.
We've been talking with Carol Cunningholm, chair of Fair Districts Pennsylvania. That group is pushing for reform on how legislative districts in Pennsylvania are drawn. To hear this and other episodes of Take Note, go to wpsu.org/take note. I'm Ann Danahy. WPSU.